Go ahead, I'm turning in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. I'd like to remind all the leaders that we're going to have a meeting at 5 p.m., both men and women. The last few weeks we've been talking about the temple of God. We start off by talking about how God wants us to build His temple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, the Bible does now say that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Back in the Old Testament, they had a temple in Jerusalem where God dwelt. And they would go there to sacrifice. And they would go there to worship God. Judaism, as they knew it, doesn't exist anymore. Even today, people that call themselves Orthodox Jews, and what they're practicing is not what they were practicing back in the Old Testament times. Because there's no longer any temple. That temple was destroyed in 70 AD. And Judaism, as they knew it in the Old Testament, ceased to exist. The most important thing that God is concerned about is our relationship with Him one-on-one. Are you with me? We started talking about how we need to take care of this temple. We need to build it up. We need to keep it holy. Last week we talked about how the temple is supposed to be a house of prayer. Amen? Amen. Not only a place where God dwells, but it's truly a house of prayer. You know, I was talking to a brother this week. I hope you had a wonderful week. Praying to God. If you didn't, you can do it this week. Amen? I'm not going to let you get off that easy. But it was just awesome, just as a church, praying to God about different things every day. A brother was telling me, okay, I preached that sermon last Sunday, and he walked out, and lo and behold, his radio in his car, kaput. The Spatenspieler is kaput. That's German. But the record player has broken. And he said, bro, I have been praying all week because there's no radio to listen to. I said, amen. God helped you along there, right there. But it's been wonderful. Just praying and putting things before God as a church. And today we're praying for ourselves, amen. If you haven't done it yet, there's still a lot of hours left before midnight. You got to be praying. Pray for yourself. Amen. You know, several weeks ago, there's this church that's right there on Highway 29 between Beaver Ruin and Indian Trail that came up for sale. And we made a bid on it. And a few weeks ago, Alan got up and announced to us that, you know what, sorry guys, sorry church. You know, the church didn't accept our bid. They took the other church's bid, and that was what they were going to submit to their bank. And I'll never forget, I got that phone call on a Friday night from Ed Townsend. And I was disappointed. What do I do when I'm disappointed? I go get on my knees. And I went upstairs into our bedroom, and I prayed. And when I felt better, I was done. Then my wife came in. We're getting ready to go out on a double date. And my wife came in, and I said, well, I got to tell her. So I told her. I said, you know, we got the phone call. Sorry. They're going with the other church's bid. And Sarah was visibly upset. He said, I said, Sarah, I said, don't go there. I said, just trust God. That's all I'm doing. Let's just trust God. If He wants us in that place, we're going to get in there. But don't go down that road. Oh, it's still very disappointing. We're praying. I said, yeah, I know it is, but God knows what he's doing, okay? Now let's go out to dinner. And so we went out to dinner. And we had a great time. And I even think I mentioned it to the couple that we were with, you know, at dinner time, just in passing. Oh, sorry, they didn't accept that bid, but hey, let's continue to trust God. Now, last week, Sunday, we said, you know what, we're going to pray about different things as a church, right? Mondays, we prayed for our families. On Tuesday, we prayed for the church and different things within the church. And lo and behold, Tuesday night, that church decided, you know what? They want to go with our bid. Because the other church that they had accepted their bid couldn't get the financing. They went to two different banks, then they couldn't do it. So they came back to us and said, you know what, guys? We'd like to present your bid to the Bank of America. And so Wednesday morning, Ed calls Alan, and Alan writes this long email, you know. I just sat there and I was smiling. And so, again, if you were not at church on Thursday night, that was the big announcement we made that the church has accepted our bid and is going to be presented to Bank of America in the next several days. That's exciting news. You see, God knows what he's doing. It's his church. Why should I worry about it? Why should you be stressed out about it? It's his church. And there's some things that we just got to decide, you know what? I'm not going to allow this to get to me. Amen. Like Gary was saying this morning, a lot of times things happen in life and we think, oh no, what's going on? Why is God doing this? Let me tell you something. That's when God does his best work, in case you haven't been reading your Bible. Amen. And we are not going to be any different. We need to continue to pray. Amen. They're going to submit our bid to Bank of America, and we'll see what happens. But in line with that, again, I reminded everybody, we gave this out to all the members several weeks ago, and we asked you to fill out a pledge card. Now, I'm glad a lot of you have done so and turned it in. Now, the next step is you got to make sure you're giving your contribution. All of a sudden, I get silenced. Amen? You got to give your contribution. Let your yes be yes. Remember, it's all God's money anyhow. Okay, we're going to talk about the temple being the place of sacrifice. But we got to ask ourselves, is it truly sacrifice? Because everything we have, God gave to us. Everything we have is a gift. Your children are a gift. Your home is a gift. Your job is a gift. And God says, I want all of it back. Amen? And so, again, I'm appealing to us. Okay, 1 week you're sick or 1 week you're out of town. The following week, you got to put that contribution in. Because we're going to have bills to pay. Amen? Are we together, church? Amen. Where was I? Okay. So, in a matter of speaking, we're back in the driver's seat. Praise God for that. Today, we want to talk about where God's people went to sacrifice. And it was at the temple. We're going to look at two men, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. Two characters in the Bible where God looked at them and literally asked them to give up everything. To sacrifice everything. There are two people in the Bible like that. One was Abraham. And that's the first one we're going to look at. And then we're going to come into the New Testament and look at the rich young ruler. And as we look at these two characters, I want you to ask yourself, which of these men are you most like? Where are you at spiritually this morning as far as your sacrifice to the creator of the universe? So let's begin in Genesis chapter 22. Let me hear them Bibles turning. I know you got them or you opened there today. You opened there already. Good, 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 good. Genesis chapter 22. We all know the story, but we're going to read it together. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied.
The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? This is a very smart kid. He noticed something was missing. Abraham answered, watch this. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Incredible. I mean, when you think about this story, we're talking a son that was born to Abraham when he was 100 years old. God had promised him that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. God finally gave him the son at 100 years old. And at this point, God says, you know what, I want to take that boy and I want you to go to a mountain, I'm going to show you, and I want you to kill him and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. It's amazing to me. The scripture says, very early the next morning. It wasn't, you know what, I need to go pray about this. I hear some of us say stuff like that, and you think it's spiritual, when God has already spoken. He didn't say, you know what, well, God, are you sure, Isaac? He wasn't contemplating. He obeyed immediately. He was going to do it. As we read the story, Isaac said, hey, Dad, where's the lamb? We got the wood, we got the fire, you got the knife. Where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God himself will provide the sacrifice. Wait a second. God already told him, hey, I want you to burn up this boy. Go kill him and then burn him up. But look at it. Look at Abraham's attitude. Look at his faith. Again, you can just picture the scene. He builds his altar. He puts the boy on. You don't read that Isaac was getting up and saying, this ain't happening. He stayed there. He bound him up. He raised the knife. He didn't go, okay, I'm going to count to 10. Let me see if God changes his mind. I was like, you know, it's time. I'm going through with it. And boom, and he was going to plunge it. And he hears this voice, Abraham, Abraham, hold on. Now I know that you fear me, because you have not withheld your son from me. And all of a sudden, he looks, and there's a ram caught in a thicket. He goes and grabs it. He sacrifices that instead of his son and burns it up. You say, Richard, why am I going through this? You see, the whole sacrificial system started way before the temple was built. First of all, this is the first time we see where God calls someone and says, I want you to go sacrifice. It was Abraham. And it's amazing to me, God says, you know what, I want you to burn yours, I mean, I want you to kill him and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. He was going to burn him up. And Abraham still believed that the boy could be raised even after that. That we know that from Romans chapter 5. That's incredible. And because of this whole episode, the Bible says all this stuff was credited to him as righteousness. What's the lesson behind all this? Why did God say sacrifice? God was simply trying to find out if Abraham really trusted him. That's it. In other words, do you trust me, Abraham? If you trust me, then you will do what I ask you to do. And boy, oh boy, did he pass that test and then some. are you at in your walk with the Lord?
When, for instance, like we're talking about right now, contribution, when God says, give generously, and it will be given to you generously, do you really believe that?
Oh, the economy, it hasn't recovered yet. Double-digit unemployment. I've been looking for work for 6 months, for a year.
Oh, you of little faith. God is looking at you asking, do you trust me? Abraham did.
This is my most favorite character in the Bible outside of Jesus. I love Abraham. He's one of the first people I want to talk to when I get to the other side. The Bible does tell us that when we do leave this place as Christians, an angel is going to carry us to Abraham's bosom. I can't wait to see him. Incredible man of God. And the Bible says when we display that kind of faith, the same righteousness that was credited to Abraham will also be credited to us. You see, the temple is a place of sacrifice. But again, like I said earlier, is it really sacrifice when everything we have, God gave to us anyhow? There's nothing anything you and I have that we can say, oh, this is mine. I created this. God has nothing to do with it. There's no such thing. Amen? Everything we have, everything we will ever have, came from God. Amen? And that's why we shouldn't be tight-fisted. You know, a lot of us, we have kids, and, you know, they're growing and all that is great. Some of them are still young. You know, one of the things we teach our kids is to get them to share, right? Hey, son, here you are. You went to the supermarket or the grocery store, and you bought the chocolate bar with your money, okay? And you brought it into the house. And now, Dad, can I have some of that chocolate? Oh, sure. Now, you give him some. Oh, by the way, share with your sister. Uh-uh. Did you hear me? I said, I want you to share. As a matter of fact, you need to give me some. Mm. You're going to look at that little and say, you come here, you little rascal. And you're going to teach him a lesson right there. To understand, you know what? You need to share. It's not yours. It wasn't yours to begin with. See, God is the same way. When we don't sacrifice, it's as if we're saying, you know what? Hey, this is mine. And God is like, excuse me? Could you say that again? Did I hear you well? Oh, you better watch out. Because he's not going to let that just go. But see, Abraham trusted God, amen? He obeyed immediately. And because he trusted God, he was willing to give up his most precious gift. Now let's look at Matthew 19. Let's look at a man who had a different attitude. In Matthew chapter 19, a passage we are very familiar with, the same story shows up in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31, and in Luke 18, 18 to 30. The rich young man, or the rich young ruler. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you ask about what is good? Jesus replied, There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones? The man inquired. Jesus replied, Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus says to his disciples, I tell you the truth. It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I mean, think about it. This guy had a lot of good things going for him. The Bible says he was rich. The Bible tells us he was young. In other words, he was young enough that all this money he's got a lot of many years to spend it. Okay, that's a good thing. He was prominent. In the account in Luke, we're told that he was a young ruler.
He had a great reputation. If anything, based on his response to Jesus, when Jesus started telling him to obey the commandments, it seemed like he had an excellent, virtuous life. On the outward, anyhow. It looked like it. He was eager to learn. He came to Jesus. He had a burning desire to find out, you know what? I need rest for my soul. Let me go ask this teacher. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That's the ultimate question. Notice another thing. He was very reverent. This is one thing we're not very good at in the West. The Bible says he came and he fell at his knees in front of Jesus. So he's talking to Jesus. Jesus is responding. He's still on his knees. When was the last time you knelt down talking to somebody? You see, in my culture, this is an aside. In my culture where I'm from, if somebody is older than you by one day, by 24 hours, you treat them with respect as an older person. If you're a guy, you see somebody older than you, especially your parents, you bow and you prostrate. You literally get on all fours. Like this. Good morning, sir. And you get up. It's like you're doing a push-up. Ladies will get on their knees. Oh, good morning, mom. Good morning. And they'll tell you to get up and then you stand up. Out of respect, out of reverence. Kids, the least you can do every morning is to say good morning to your family. When you walk by an adult, we've said this before in this church, you better open up your mouth and say hello. Or somebody's going to pull you back and say, son, did you see me standing here? Reverence. Because let me tell you something, if you don't show reverence to humans, you're not going to show reverence towards God. It's not possible. Amen? You know, I was talking to a young man the other day, actually last week. We're getting together, and I was like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm thinking, yeah. He's on the right track. Not because he was telling me, yes, sir. But I'm older than him. I'm old enough to be his dad. He's showing respect. When you talk to your teachers, kids, at school, is it yes, sir, or yes, and yes, ma'am? Absolutely, that's what it needs to be. One of the things that shocked me when I first came to this country back in 1980 to go to college, you know, we got to class, and I almost fell out of my chair, hearing my classmates calling the professor by his name. I was like, what? That's Dr. So-and-so. Hey, Jim, could you explain that again? And I'm like, excuse me? There's something wrong with this picture. I said, where I come from, he's the professor. You got to show some respect. We're Americans. We're all free. Yes, we do a study. Not where I'm from. Amen? This guy came and he fell at Jesus' feet. And he stayed there. It's amazing. He came to the right person. He asked the right questions. He got the right answers. But he made the wrong decision. So what must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I still lack? Jesus told him. And he went away sad. Why? Because his money was his wealth. His money was his God. And so I'm asking you this morning, what is it that is holding you back? What is it that is preventing you from being a sold out disciple of Jesus Christ? What is it? I pray your story does not read like this rich young ruler. There's some of us in here, you know, you come to church and I appreciate that. You've been looking at the Bible. But you know what you need to do?
Is it making Jesus the Lord of your life? Is it making Jesus master? I'm looking for a chair. You know, Christianity is not a very complicated thing. I want you to imagine this as a throne, okay? With all the bling bling on it. Use your imagination. This is the throne. And here you are, you've been sitting on the throne, right? And Jesus comes along. Says, you want to follow me? Now get out of that chair. I'm going to be Lord. I'm going to be the master. In humility, you need to stand up and say, Lord, here you are. You gotta get off the throne. Jesus needs to occupy that throne. He needs to become Lord. He needs to become master. Say, oh Lord, that's my chair. Oh, you better be quiet. It used to be your chair. It's now mine. I'm now going to be king. I'm not going to be the Lord of your life. You follow what I tell you. That's what Christianity is. But see, some of us, we're not willing to let go. We're not willing to sacrifice. Is it sin that's holding you back? When are you going to repent? When are you going to change? I'll tell you one thing. Again, I've been doing this for over 2 decades now. The one reason I have found why people do not change is because they love their sin too much than they love God. It is that simple. When the day comes, when you wake up and say, you know what? I am sick and tired of being this way. You will change. You will repent. But you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed next week. What are you waiting for? Amen? Amen? Sacrifice. That's what God is looking for. Some of us, we're not urgent. We're not eager. Man, when I figured out I was lost and I needed to repent and get baptized for the forgiveness of my sins, we were having church like this. And at the end, when I was converted, they would do a song, just a response song, and people would come forward and ask for prayers. And then we would have a baptism afterwards. I jumped out of where I was sitting. And Gene Ville, that's the brother who studied the Bible with me, is now in the Athens church. And he says, hey, where are you going? I said, I'm going for, I'm getting baptized. He said, what? I said, yeah. I said, I have repented. I need my sins washed away. And you are not going to talk me out of it. So have you thought about it? I said, listen, what do you think I've been doing all these weeks? I have thought about it. I've been praying about it. Now is the time. He said, we need to sit down and count the cost. I said, I have counted the cost. Okay? And I wasn't joking. For me, my biggest cost was my career. Because remember, again, I came to this country to make a lot of money and never to go back to Africa. That was my dream. And I had to give it up. I said, Lord, if you want me to give all this stuff up, okay, fine. And I did. But see, I was urgent. I know I couldn't sleep very well those few days. Because I knew if Jesus came back before I got my sins washed away, I am cooked for eternity. And so I'm asking you this morning, which one are you going to be? Are you going to be Abraham? Who, when God says something, if it doesn't make sense, you go ahead and obey it? Right. Or are you going to be like your rich young man who walked away sad? You see, Abraham trusted God. The rich young man trusted in his riches. There's a big difference. It's all about trusting God. That's what it comes down to. Do you trust God or not? You've heard me use the example of a guy who was driving off on a cliff one time, and you know, car rolled, and he rolled out, and as he's falling, he grabs a branch. I mean, he was going to fall to his death, and he's screaming, "Help! Help! Somebody help me!" And God shows up. God says, "Hi, what can I do for you?" Oh, God, I'm so glad you showed up. Thank you, sir. I need help. Could you get me out of this predicament? And what God said to him, God says, let go.
Here he is, he's holding on to one branch. He's going to fall to his death. And God says, let go.
Say, what?
I said, let go.
Is there anybody else up there? This is a question of trust. Because if you trust God, you would let go. And that's when he will be right there to catch you.
You see, the temple is also the place where we come to God and we sacrifice. Let's close out in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, again, a passage we're very familiar with. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Are you going to trust God like Abraham? Or are you going to walk away sad? Because the Bible is telling you what you do not want to hear. Because the Bible is teaching you what you do not want to confront. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of sacrifice. It's every day. Let us continue to offer a sacrifice of praise to our God. God bless you all.